The first I want to take, because it's from a group, is several women request a brief discussion of the animus. How can we translate what men are saying about the anima into our animus? I think the best thing is not to translate, but to try to experience it directly. And I would say, how we experience, how I experience the animus first. Before knowing that there is such a thing as the animus, I just was sure that I was one person who had all sorts of holy convictions, and which I felt were completely my own, and also all sorts of, in my case, skeptical thoughts about distrustful thoughts about human beings, about reality, about so on, of which I would have also said they are all really my own. And only when I entered analysis, I first recognized the animus in that form that I dreamt about negative men and positive men, and Jung pointed out to me that they personified, so to speak, these parts in me. And then I, for the first time, through these seeing these personifications in the dream, I began to wonder if these different convictions and attitudes I had were really mine, or if I would wanted really to identify with them. And furthermore, I noticed that whenever I identified with certain of these attitudes, I got on the nerves of men, not only on Jung's nerves, but any man will do, as long as he's virile, as long as he's not effeminate. Then men automatically bristle. And that made me thoughtful. And then I... That showed me then the two things together, that generally when I had identified with one of those personifications in my unconscious who appeared personified in my dreams, then I got on men's nerves. And if you put that all together, then you see that is about empirically what the animus amounts to. That's why Jung says it is absolutely for a woman vitally important to have relationships to the other sex, for men too, to recognize the anima, because it's the simplest way of becoming aware that the men are very friendly towards you and open and has a nice conversation, and suddenly they close up and bristle. And then you must always ask yourself, now what's wrong there? Am I not quite myself in that moment? Now it can be that one has also an insight or a conviction or an attitude, or one is sure one ought or wants to do something, and the men bristle, and it is not the animus. Because naturally men do not only dislike the animus in a woman, but sometimes also for certain unknown reasons dislike something of her genuine nature. But it is not so frequent, but it can happen. I've often seen when analyzing a woman that sometimes she had she expressed to her husband her true inner self, her feminine self, and in spite of it, he, having learned psychology, say, oh, you are in the animus, and so on, when it wasn't. So there one can only recur to one's dreams. In such cases, then the dreams confirmed to the woman that she was on the right track, and her husband, for some unknown reasons, was rejecting out of personal complexes, was rejecting whatever she wanted to do or said or did. But even then, the great danger is that if in such a situation one then gets into the animus, in other way one gets argumentative and wants to prove one's point and wants to press one's point. And I would say whenever I recognize myself being in the animus, A, when I get on men's nerves, secondly, when I can't let a theme go, when I'm kind of possessed, when I can't say, well, let's agree to differ, let's drop the discussion, never mind, when I kind of get hooked into having to argue the truth out. That is always a symptom of the being possessed by the animus.